We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Jeremy Wu, the associate producer of SI.com. Mm. I was reading his latest mock draft. Jeremy, Joe, and Evan, how are you?
Jeremy, how are you?
How you guys doing? I'm good.
Well, let's start at the top and work our way to the Knicks. The Lakers on Lonzo Ball are where right now? Is that, you know, it's basically there's been talk, well, you know, he's maybe not in the greatest shape in the world. Maybe they'll pass on him. You have the Lakers taking him. Are you confident that they're not going to throw a monkey wrench into this whole thing and go elsewhere?
Yeah, right now I feel pretty good about the Lakers going with Lonzo. I mean, I think he makes sense for them philosophically, you know, with Magic and Walton, you know, wanting to sort of probably emulates sort of what the Warriors are doing, what a lot of the league is doing. I mean, I think Lonzo is a good fit for that. I don't know if he's the second best prospect. I mean, he has risks, but I mean, I do think it's what the Lakers will do it too, just based on what I've heard.
Forget the father. What's his biggest risk in your mind as a player?
Yeah, I guess, you know, if you look around the league, I mean, you know, obviously it really helps to have a great point guard to be successful. But if you look at, you know, the best point guards in the league, you know, all these are guys who can kind of create their own shot. And sort of, you know, get a bucket when they need to. I don't know. With Lonzo, it's a little bit tougher to peg. You know, he's not super explosive, and he's a really smart player. And, you know, I think he can shoot. I think his shot's a little weird. It'll be fine. But in terms of creating space for his jumper, you know, getting to the rim, you know, I'm just not sure against NBA defenses, you know, how that's going to change for him. Mm-hmm.
All right, so the Celtics now are sitting there at three. We know Philly's going to take Fultz at one. What are the Celtics taking with three?
Right, so the Celtics, I think, will, you know, part of why they, you know, according to what people were saying, reports, you know, traded out of the first spot, partially because they felt like they didn't need another guard. So, I mean, my guess is it'll be between Josh Jackson and Jason Tatum. I think Tatum is probably the better fit if they, you know, are going to keep that pick. You know, there's a lot of talk that Boston is going to, you know, package together for a trade, in which case I think Josh Jackson might be the more valuable trade asset. I mean, I think it'll be one of those two guys regardless, unless they, you know, have another surprise up their sleeve.
When we look at Ball and Fox, the two point guards, I think a lot of us think of their one-on-one meeting in the NCAA tournament. How much stock do a lot of these executives put in what De'Aaron Fox was able to do against Lonzo Ball?
Yeah, you know, it's a tough question. I think it's just sort of like any other game. You know, I think most smart executives are going to look at the whole big picture. You know, I mean, it says something about, I think that game said probably a little bit more about Lonzo just in terms of his defensive struggles at times. But I think people like that De'Aaron, you know, wanted to go at him. You know, I mean, I think that is a positive for some people. I don't know if it's like going to, you know, be the deciding factor, you know, if it's a coin flip. But, you know, people know, I think, more of like the mentality than the fact that he had 37 points or whatever.
Before we get into the possibility of a Knicks trading Porzingis, so let's assume the Knicks everything stays to Hoyle and they pick with the eighth pick in the draft. What do you see? How do you see that? What do you see with them taking there?
Sure, yeah. In the mock we have on our site today, I have them taking Malik Monk from Kentucky, who I think would make sense to them. I think they need, you know, backcourt help and they know it. You know, I think they'll look at Frank Ntilikina. I think they'll look at Dennis Smith. I think any of those guards could be a fit for them at number eight. But I have Monk. I think he is a nice fit just because I think he has a lot of, you know, potential as a scorer. That's what I'm thinking. But it's tough to peg because there's so many scenarios based on just what happened to five and six that are going to sort of impact what's available for them.
When you look at Monk, what's the biggest concern about him? Is it his size, a little bit undersized?
Yeah, he's a little undersized. And, you know, and then when he's not scoring the ball, you know, how is he going to help you? I think he needs a little bit of time to sort of, you know, I think become more confident as a ball handler and sort of learn to, you know, sort of run a team a little bit. I think he can do those things. I saw him do it in high school. He played a little more point guard. You know, in Kentucky, he was playing next to Fox, so it was a different type of role. So I think he'll have a little bit of a learning curve, and I think defensively his size is going to hurt him a little bit. But if he is, you know, a guy who's leading in scoring every night, you know, you can sort of deal with some of those issues.
Is it realistic? And now Phil Jackson is saying that he's open to the possibility of trading Porzingis. Do you see that realistic at all? And if what would he have to get back to make that deal?
Yeah, I don't think it's unrealistic. I mean, just based on the flurry of, you know, I don't know any more than you guys do here. You know, all this stuff just sort of started trickling out in the last couple hours. But I mean, I think it's possible if teams are calling. But I do think it would probably take a big haul. Like, you probably need to include at least one young starting caliber player and like multiple draft picks as a baseline, I think, for it to be reasonable. Because, you know, Porzingis being, he's only 21. You know, he's younger than a lot of guys in the draft, and you know, he's already been a very solid guy for them for 2 years. So, I mean, to me, the whole idea is crazy. But it's the Knicks, so it's, you know, it's
crazy. Yeah, no, you know, we know that.
Shopping him isn't crazy. Shopping him isn't crazy. Pulling the potential trigger may be the crazy part.
Yeah, well,
that's what we'll see.
They better get crazy back if they do that.
Talking to Jeremy Wu, associate producer of SI.com, you brought up the French point guard, Frank Ntilikina, who I'm working on the pronunciation every day. Every day I'm working hard on this. What do you hear about the biggest questions with him? He's very young. He's 18. I was kind of bothered a little bit. And I was reading this morning in the New York Post that his team is about to play a decisive game in his league, I think for the league championship, and the game is Friday. And he's coming to New York for the draft, and he may not go back for the deciding game. That kind of, I mean, he's 18 years old. He's trying to win some kind of championship. I don't know if executives give a damn. I don't know, Joe, if you give a damn if they draft him. Maybe you don't care.
I don't care.
But from the
competitive... In fact, I just as soon say he don't go back.
Right, because he could get hurt.
Right,
I see that.
Right.
But from the competitive nature of it and the experience of it, you would think it would be a good thing to play in a championship game at 18 years old, but whatever. The positives and negatives you've heard about Frank Ntilikina.
Yeah, you know, so he's a really interesting prospect. I think it's been a little bit tough, you know, from the outside looking in, just because, you know, he's had a pretty small, you know, relative sample size of games to look at. You know, I know he's been playing pretty strong, you know, over the last couple months and sort of, you know, improving for them. He's been really good for France, you know, on their national teams at youth levels. But, you know, he's got a really good size. He's a good passer. You know, he's become a pretty solid shooter. I think the big question is, you know, he's not, you know, he's big and strong, but he's not like as like lightning quick as some of these other guys, right? So I think that's one of the questions is, does that cap his upside? You know, how much of a scorer is he going to be? Is he more of a guy who's just kind of, you know, going to run your team and be solid? And if that's the case, I mean, he still, at number 10, you can kind of, you know, if you can get a guy like that, that's great. You know, you're not always going to get a superstar in that 8 through 12 range, you know, even in a good draft, you just don't know. So I think a lot of teams have gone over there and, you know, really looked into him, and I think his long-term potential, especially like you said, he's 18, is pretty substantial.
Is there any chance Fox falls to the Knicks at 8? Any chance?
I highly doubt it. I don't think he's getting out of the top 5 at this point.
Who is the most likely guy, then, kind of to follow up to that, that would fall? Is it Dennis Smith, maybe, or somebody else that maybe has that possibility of falling?
Yeah, I think Smith could certainly get to them at 8. They could be in a position where they have to pick between, you know, Smith and Monk, and I guess the rumor was that if they trade Porzingis, they might take Markkanen.
Right.
I don't know if that would be a great pick for them. I would rather, because, you know, I'd rather just have Porzingis. But, you know, I mean, it could definitely be a situation where you see them pick between Smith, Monk, and Ntilikina. It could be, you know, you could see who they really like of the three.
If by some fluke, because you even said it, look, Lakers are probably taking Lonzo Ball, I feel comfortable about it. If somehow the Lakers say, you know what, forget this, we don't want the guy, and they take, you know, whomever, whether they take De'Aaron Fox or Jason Tatum or Josh, whoever they take it to, would the Celtics then right away shop that 3 to a team that really wants Lonzo Ball?
Yeah, I don't think that's out of the question. I think Boston could be in a position, definitely, if depending on what the Lakers do, to shop that pick. I mean, I'm sure they're shopping it anyway as they sort of figure out, you know, what their next move is going to be. But, yeah, I mean, I think if a guy like Lonzo fell to that spot, I mean, they'd probably give Boston even more leverage in terms of, you know, packaging that pick as part of a bigger trade.
Talking to Jeremy Wu of Sports Illustrated, we're 2 days away from the NBA draft. My partner hasn't brought it up, but I'm going to bring it up because he's a big Net fan. We had a draft guy on yesterday who mentioned Caleb Swanigan out of Purdue. What's your thoughts on him, and could you see him winding up with Brooklyn?
Yeah, I like Swanigan. He's kind of an unorthodox player. You know, I've been really impressed with his overall development. You know, he lost a ton of weight, had a really, really great season at Purdue. He's very skilled. He can shoot now. You know, he's a good passer, a smart player, very tough kid. I could see him as a fit in Brooklyn. I don't know if he's the type of pick that, I mean, if you look at their sort of what, you know, their recent history has been, you know, I think it seems like the Nets have been, and they're smart for this. You know, they've been taking bigger swings on guys who
they have to,
you know, young guys, right. They have to, cause they don't have the draft pick. So they need to invest in somebody they can develop. So Swanigan doesn't necessarily fit that mold, but he is a guy who I think could play a little bit right away. The big question with him is defensively, who is he going to guard? Cause he's a little bit undersized and not super quick.
Who is the, we could say Draymond Green or Malcolm Brogdon too, because what a year he had. Who is the Malcolm Brogdon of this draft? That guy who's taken very late, who falls into the second round, maybe late first round, who could have a real impact in this league?
Yeah, I think one guy is Josh Hart from Villanova, who I think is a popular, you know.
Sure, well, we know who he is. That's one of the positives, right?
Exactly, yeah. So he fits that bill as a, you know, college guy who's, you know, proven himself. I think teams see him as a safe pick. I think he'll go somewhere in that 25 to 35 range. But I think he's a guy who can help someone. You know, he's tough. He can, you know, play a few different positions defensively. He's versatile. You know, he might not have, you know, superstar upside, but he's going to be, you know, able to help someone.
Why did, let's change gears with the draft a second. Why did David Griffin leave the Cavaliers?
Man, your guess is as good as mine. I'm still reading all these things that are coming out of Cleveland, but I mean, it sounds like there was some stuff with him and the ownership that, I guess, you know, got sidetracked. And I mean, again, there have been rumors for a couple months, you know, his contract was coming up and no one really knew what was going to happen, but I think it is still a shock. But I mean, Dan Gilbert is obviously a guy who, you know, has made brash decisions before and
clownish,
you
know, decisions would be.
Yeah.
He's kind of a clown.
Yeah.
So, to be fair,
still figuring that out. Yeah.
Let me throw another name at you because, and look, Joe and I will admit, right? NCAA tournament comes around. We're watching all these games. We're not watching as many games in December and January.
No.
So one guy who made an imprint on my mind was Jordan Bell. Remember Jordan Bell, Oregon Junior, all that.
Yes.
What about him? Like, what? I've read him mocked as a second round guy. What are your thoughts and what you've heard about what most experts or executives think about Jordan Bell from Oregon?
Yeah, you know, I think teams are really interested in him because of his, you know, ability to play defense first and foremost. You know, he's not the biggest guy, but he's such a good athlete. You know, I was at the draft combine and he, you know, was pretty good there. You know, he just kind of pops out at you, you know, with that ability, you know, block shots. He can defend four or five positions, you know, and guys like that are more valuable than ever, just because, you know, the way the league is going, it's more of spread offenses and people playing fast. And if you have a guy like Bell who can kind of, you know, switch screens and, you know, be a defensive cog for you. Even if he's a little bit small to play center, you know, you can kind of work around it. You know, positions are less of a construct than they used to be. So I think Bell is definitely appealing. He has a chance to sneak into the first round. He probably won't fall out of the top 35 or 40 guys. But it depends on need and, you know, which team feels like he sort of fits into what they're doing. But I think he's a really interesting player for sort of the modern league.
All right, so when we get to opening day next year, and when's the NBA season open now? Like late August now, I think it opens? Something like that. But anyway, is Carmelo on the Knicks opening day next season?
I would guess no, just based on, you know, what Phil's been saying. And I think Carmelo at some point, especially if they treat Porzingis, he's going to, you know, just give up and be like, all right, trade me, right? Like, you know, how much longer is he going to, you know, want to stick it out? It just seems like they're putting the pressure on him. My guess would be he goes. I just don't know where he goes, I guess, is the thing. You know, it's just there are so many teams now that are sort of in rebuild mode and, you know, teams that are, I mean, Edward is not the Warriors and Cavs is kind of like, you know, well, you know, where do we go from here, right? So then if you narrow it down, like teams that he could fit that are trying to win now, it's tough. There are not a lot of teams that he's necessarily like, you know, a great trade target given how much he's paying.
That's why if I'm Melo, I hold out for the buyout. That's what I do, and then I can go wherever the heck I want. Golden State, Cleveland, Golden State, maybe Golden State, maybe Cleveland, maybe Cleveland. That's what I would do if I'm Melo, but we'll see. Jeremy, great stuff. A couple of days before the draft. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Anytime.
See you.
Jeremy Wu, associate producer, SI.com, talking NBA draft.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.